Doesn't matter where you've been or who you've been or what you've done. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that's what we're going to sing about right here. So we want you to sing it with us. You ready? Come ye sinners, lost and
helpless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me.
Let me hear you sing.
And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains makes a way, findeth water in the desert, turns the night to golden day.
Help us out.
And I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Come on, y'all, wake up.
And I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation he is near thee, holds the power of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Oh, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He will keep thee while the ages roll throughout eternity. No earth hinders and hell rages, all must work for good to thee. And I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
yes I know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Sing it one more time.
And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Oh, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. One more time. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Man, I don't
know. That's pretty good for Mother's Day.
I don't know. I was thinking about Terry Tillis. Gave her testimony down in Lewisburg the other week. And one thing that stuck in my mind is she said when she was a Catholic, she hated to take communion because of a lot of things, but she hated that it stuck to the roof of her mouth.
Yeah.
And she said now that she knows the Lord, she said when she takes communion, she crunches down on that knowing that Christ crunches down on all sin. Is that what you said, Terry? And that's the truth, isn't it?
Amen.
She said, and she no longer has to have that wafer stick to the roof of her mouth anymore. And I thought that was great. You know, I loved her testimony. It was
I did
good
too.
Job.
It really moved us. We were really, and next time David has one of those little meetings down there, it's a testimonial meeting, you should come. It doesn't last very long, but it's really a moving time. All right, now we know the blood of Jesus Christ can take away all of our sins. Now we're going to do another song about how God provides for us. Jehovah Jireh, I believe. How many of you remember this song? Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. You remember when Abraham was told to take his son up and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice? And he was pulled up the knife and he was going to kill him, and he heard a voice, Abraham, Abraham, do not put your hand on the son I know that you now believe me. And he looked behind him. There was a ram. And he took a ram and put him in the place of his son, which is the gospel, Christ in our place.
Amen.
And he named that place Jehovah Jireh. He called the God that provided for him, Jehovah Jireh. So y'all sing this with us. Ready?
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me.
You shall go out with joy
and be led forth with peace. The mountain and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy,
and all the trees of the field
will clap their hands.
You ready to clap?
And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Clap their hands. Clap their hands. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. While you go out with joy. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me.
My Lord and God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory. He gives His angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Saying that.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands, clap their hands, clap their hands.
And all the trees of the field will clap their hands
while we go out with joy.
Sing one more time.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me.
Amen. 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 Let's pray. Our Father, we call upon You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank You for bringing us into Your house today. And we are thankful for the revelation that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and that You have provided for us, You do provide for us, You shall provide for us, for all who trust in You. We come to You in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Pray that today might be a day that honors Him as we seek to honor the mothers also. We thank You for those mothers who love You, who know You, who try to serve You. We pray for those mothers who do not know You, that You may bring them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'd like to say a word of welcome to all of you to the services of Grace Church today, and say a special welcome to any first-time visitors that we have here with us. And if you did not get an opportunity, we ask that you would sign the register that's located in our foyer just as you entered the church, so that we might have a record of your attendance. I love those upbeat songs like the last two that we just sang, and I happened to look back on that first one at Charlie Haynes sitting back on the back row, and I thought he was fixing to break out in a full tribal dance. Love it when people are excited, certainly about the truth of the gospel. We do want to encourage you all to join us each Sunday morning for our Sunday school classes, which begin at 9:45. We have classes for all ages, and we encourage you to join us for that. And we also have praise and worship service on Wednesday evening, a little Bible study also at 7 p.m. that we encourage you to join us for. We do want to remind you, as the men come forward who will help us with the offering, that we will have many more prayer requests that will scroll across the screen. We ask that you pay attention to those, and as the Lord calls them to your mind this week, that you would intercede on their behalf, for our God is able to do above and beyond that which we think or even ask, and we have many who are in need, so please remember them before the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Josh, if you would, to ask the Lord's blessing on the offering.
Father, we come before you once again this morning in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, thanking you for the families that you've given us, thanking you for the mothers that you provide for us, Lord, and all of our respective families, and here in this place, we get to benefit from that overspilling of grace every day here in this assembly, Lord, because of the godly mothers that you've given us here, and we want to thank you for that and thank you for them. We thank you for our pastor and ask that you would lead him as he prepares to bring your word to us this morning. And we do pray, Lord, for these offerings that we're about to receive, that you would use them for the furtherance of your work here, Lord, and that you would bless them. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Now, as the Lord has providentially brought us into his house today to hear his word proclaimed, we ask that in respect for one another and in reverence to our Lord and Savior, please turn off all cell phones and refrain from eating and drinking in the church sanctuary. Thank you.
All right, would you stand together with me? We want to welcome all of you who are visiting with us here today, and those who are visiting with us by the internet. And we want to appeal to the Lord to help us while we gathered here to worship him. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No. To invite your attention to, I'm going to read two passages, but if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 31, if you can't find it, it's going to be a short passage, and I'll read it to you here in just a moment. Now, while you're searching for that, I want to make this announcement. A couple of years ago, we got some people together in the church to do an album. Many, many years ago, we did an album called Hymns of Him, and we just titled this one Hymns of Him, Volume 2. Got a picture of the church building on the front of it, and it's got the songs on the back of it. We were hoping we'd get $1,000 apiece for each one of these and pay off our note on this building. So we're going to put these down here to the front, and we do have some more. And those of you who worship here, we don't charge for anything here. We don't charge for the tapes or the messages or anything else. I think it's foolish for a man to say, God gave me this message, but I want you to give me $25 so I can send it to you. What do you think about that? I think that's dishonest, and I think it's foolish, and I don't think it's biblical. So we're not going to charge for anything. If you want to give anything a little extra when you give here to this church, you may do that. We'd love to have you do that. But we put some of them down here. We do have more of them, and I think you'll enjoy them. I do think you will enjoy them. All right, now I have two passages of Scripture, and I'm just going to read them to you. The first one is in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 20, it says that Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30, favor, the King James Version, I'm going to give you an English translation. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Probably a more modern translation would be like this. Charm is deceptive, and beauty will disappear. But a woman who honors the Lord, she should be praised. May the Lord add his blessings on the reading of his word. Let God's people say, praise the Lord. You may be seated. I am both happy today and sad. My heart is rejoicing because of what I know about mothers and the mother I had and the mother my wife is and mother my daughter-in-law is. But my heart is heavy also, and I hope I can set forth both of these for you today. I've titled this particular message, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, regarding the influence of human beings upon the world and history. It is so very true that the hand which rocks the cradle rules the world. No one has had more influence on this world and those in it since the beginning of time than mothers. Without the agency of mothers, none of us would be here. There'd be no propagation of the human race. As we just read, Eve is the mother of all living human beings. It's sad to say, but there are movements today whose aim is to wipe out motherhood. Oh, we don't need mothers. They say we can produce test tube babies. Yes, but you must have a womb in which to plant them, and you must have a home in which to place them, and you must have milk to feed them, and you must have love to nurture them, and you must have wisdom to train them in the way that they should go. The truth is, we need mothers now more than ever. And not just mothers, because I'm sure that most all of you would agree with me that almost any normal, healthy woman can have a baby. It's not just mothers we need, but God-fearing mothers. Mothers who are willing to sacrifice themselves and, if need be, their careers to give themselves almost exclusively to their children. Mothers who trust the Lord to provide the difference in the income they would have earned at a 40 to 60 hour a week job. Mothers who realize that a baby has a soul which will live forever somewhere. Mothers who don't just talk the talk, oh, I love you too, but walk the walk, that is, who trust God to save their children. Mothers who leave their children without excuse before the Lord by teaching them the word of the Lord. As a result of his mother's love and instruction, Moses was spared death down in Egypt. The Pharaoh, who's a type of the devil, the one we call the devil and Satan, he ordered all the babies 2 years old and under to be put to death. But the mother of Moses loved her son and her God too much to give up her son without a fight. How do we know that Jochebed loved her son? Jochebed was Moses' mother's name. How do we know that Jochebed loved her son more than life itself? Well, rather than turn her baby over to Pharaoh to be murdered, she trusted the Lord to take care of him. She made a little waterproof basket and pushed him out into the area where the daughter of Pharaoh would find him there by the river. As the scripture says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, Amram and Jochebed, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid to disobey the Pharaoh's commandment. They cared more about God's word than they cared about the Pharaoh. And as a result of his mother's faith, the Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than all the riches he would have inherited in Egypt. He kept his eyes on the future reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, who taught Moses the word of God? Who sang the songs of faith to him when he was but a little lad? His mother. His mother. No one can leave a child to himself or herself with others to raise and expect that child to be all that you would wish for him or for her to be. Now, I know this modern world is out of step with biblical principles. But I'm not trying to be in step with the world. I'm trying to be in step with the Word of God and the God of the Word. So I know that the world is out of step with the Bible, but I want to tell you this. When the Lord gives a child to a woman, he gives her a full-time job. And everything else must be shut down for the sake of rearing that child in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. Oh, but Pastor, we have to have the extra income if we're to put bread on the table. Well, this is what I say. I say, if you give yourselves to mothering the children the Lord has given you, and if you give your children and yourself to the Lord, and then sit back and watch how he will provide for you. Do you think the Lord would give you children and not provide for you and for those children? No. The problem is our young, dear mothers are not trusting him to provide, but they are trusting themselves to provide for themselves and for their children and for whatever it is that we think we can't live without. David said, I have been young and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. How is that, David? because the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The song we just sang, He provides for us. Do you not believe, dear mother, that He who fed the 5,000 men besides the women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed you and your brood? Do you not believe that He who commands the winds and the waves can command men and women to provide for you? Do you not know that if you honor Him, He will honor you? Jochebed honored the Lord, and her son became a prince in Egypt, and the leader of Israel, leading them to freedom and to the promised land, and he was the means through which the law of God was given. Hannah was barren, couldn't have children, but she honored the Lord, and the Lord gave her a son who grew up to be king of the prophets and the guiding hand for kings in the kingdoms. His name was Samuel. Sarah honored the Lord, and the Lord used her to fulfill all the promises that he made beginning in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15, the promise to send a Savior, the promises made to her husband Abraham that he would be the means of blessing the entire world. Ruth honored the Lord, and the Lord took her from a condemned race and made her the grandmother of King David, the greatest king Israel ever had, and she is listed in the genealogy of the Son of God in the New Testament. All down through history, mother after mother will stand up to testify of the faithfulness of the Lord in returning upon their heads manifold blessings, not only providing abundantly for them, but causing their cups to run over. Mother after mother will join their voices with David, who said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That's food. "He leads me beside the still waters." That's all the nourishment we need. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they don't scare me. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, the oil of blessing, the oil of joy, the oil of life. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life in this world, and then in the world to come, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Oh, dear mother, whoever you are and wherever you are, you can trust a God like that. Give yourself to your children, and give yourself and your children to the Lord, and you will be amazed at what the Lord can do and will do. It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. He'll take you under his wings. He'll bless you. He'll love you. He'll provide for you. He'll prosper you until your cup runs over. It is no secret what our God can do. Just ask the mothers who've trusted him. They'll tell you. The news media and much of the American population seem to be amazed every time there's a school shooting. "What's causing this?" they ask. "Why are these children doing these things?" I can tell you why. Because many young women don't want to be mothers anymore. At the very most, many young women only want to be the vehicle of birth, and they'd be done with it. You know, just this week I heard on television, they call this news, and they were talking about some of these famous women. Talked about one famous woman, said she just had her 4th child, and they asked, by a surrogate mother. Somebody else had a child. Why wouldn't she have it? Well, she wouldn't want to mess up her beautiful figure. She wouldn't want to mess up her body by having a baby. Oh, no, wouldn't want to do that. My dear friends, a mother is much more than a woman who gives birth to a child. A mother can be and should be, by the grace of God, a wonderful picture of Christ, our Lord Himself. You see, He gave Himself to save us, His children. And mother, you must give yourself first to the Lord and then to your children to save them. Oh, if I could only convince you that the way to win is to surrender. Surrender yourself and your children and your husband and your family and your future and everything to the Lord, and you'll triumph. But enough about Jochebed and all these other God-fearing women. What can we say about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Could not God have brought His Son into the world by simply having Him appear in Israel? Well, of course, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with Him, but had He done so, we could not believe anymore. We couldn't believe Him anymore if He had done that, because He said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that the Messiah was going to come by means of a mother. So our Redeemer came into the world through a suffering mother, one who yielded herself to the sovereign will and purpose of Almighty God. And so it is written, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be the adopted sons and daughters of God. We are children of God because of a faithful woman who didn't shun motherhood. That fateful night long ago in the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And the Bible says the angel was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you, now listen, among women. Not blessed are you above women. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she wondered in her mind what his words meant. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, if it's all right with you, Mary, because after all, it is your body, you know, and the Lord wouldn't want to violate your will, you shall conceive in your womb. Listen now. You shall conceive in your womb. The Lord alone is the author and the giver of life. When women in the Old Testament couldn't have a baby, they didn't say, my fallopian tube is out of whack. They said, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. And when they had children, they said, the Lord has given me a child. You're going to, listen how God talks here. You shall conceive in your womb. The Lord is the author and the giver of life. And you shall bring forth a son. The Lord determines the sex of every human being, whether it's a male or a female. I wonder why so many today are disagreeing with Him and they want to change the sexual nature they were born with. You got to fight with God. You ain't got to fight with this world and this society. I tell you this, if you're born a male, you're going to have a male soul till the day you die. I don't care what you do outside of your body. If you're born a female, you're going to have a female soul in you until the day you die. You can't change that. And then you're going to have to give an account to God because you wanted to change what He made you. You didn't want to be what He made you. And you shall conceive, and you shall bring forth the son. And He says, and you shall call His name. I believe even our names are determined. It'd do your world of good if you just do a little research on your name, and you're going to find out your name will greatly define the kind of person you are. You'll be amazed. You'll be absolutely amazed. He's going to be great, Mary. He's going to be the son of the highest. And the Lord God's going to give unto him the throne of his father David. And he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, what do you think, Mary? Is that all right with you? Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, since I know not a man? She said, I'm a virgin. She said, I'm a spouse to a man, but we both kept ourselves pure. And the angel said unto her, well, if it's all right with you, Mary, the Holy Ghost would like to come upon you. He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. He shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now, what do you think, Mary? Will you cooperate? Behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived in her old age a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was before barren. For with God, if you'll let him, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, can't you feel the suspense? All of the angels of heaven, all the host of heaven were standing there, as Shakespeare would say, with bated breath, holding their breath. All of the purpose and the will and the glory of God and the salvation of millions and millions of lost souls depends upon her answer. There can be no Savior if Mary doesn't let the Lord have his way. What would she say? You know what she said? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know what that means? I am the Lord's servant. Then she said, be it unto me according to your word. Let your sovereign will and your sovereign purpose be done on earth and be done in my life as it is done in heaven. And the angel departed from her. But wait a minute now, not so fast. Wait a minute. There's 9 months between Mary's conception and her delivery of a child. Maybe she should seek the advice of a professional. Maybe she should visit an abortion clinic. And then after getting all of the facts of these professional people, she might want to change her mind. After all, Mary, now this is going to be 9 months. It may be painful. It's going to be painful. And many women have died giving birth. And what if you can't have the baby in a certified hospital where everything is practically germ-free? What if you have to have your baby in a barn or a stable or some other unclean place, a place that might endanger you and affect your health? And basically, you're going to be giving up the rest of your life, Mary. So, Mary, maybe you shouldn't be so quick to submit to this God in heaven. After all, is he concerned with you and your health and your future and your body? Do you know what carrying a baby for 9 months is going to do to your body? Thank the Lord in heaven, Mary was a God-fearing woman. She was that woman Solomon wrote about in Proverbs 31. Charm is deceptive, and beauty will disappear. I don't care if you're Miss America. One day you ain't going to be Miss America. You're not going to be that. You might be Mr. America, and one day you're not going to be Mr. America. Then what are you going to be? If that's all you've got, you're going to be nothing. You've got to have something bigger than yourself. You've got to have the Lord. Mary was a sovereign grace believer. And she thought it to be the greatest privilege and the greatest honor given to women to be a mother. And nearly all of the women in the Bible looked at motherhood this way. A baby was a blessing from heaven, something that to be coveted, not shunned, not looked upon as a disease or a curse. Charm is deceptive and beauty will disappear. But a woman who honors the Lord, she will be praised. Have you ever noticed when you read in the Bible, I know that most of the time when we get to those passages that are kind of dry, we just pass over those. For example, you ever notice when you're reading the history of the kings of Israel and Judah, have you ever noticed that the mother is always mentioned? Let me give you two or three examples here. Rehoboam. Next time you have a boy, name him Rehoboam. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Amoritist. 1 Kings 14, 21 and 31. Listen to this one, 1 Kings 15. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam reigned over Judah, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. And listen to this one, 1 Kings 22. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of... Why did they name their mothers? Why did they do that? I'll tell you. They named their mothers because their mothers had the most influence on them. That's why. And Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, listen to this. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 2 years over Israel, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel the same. And on and on and on it goes. Why do you suppose the mother's always mentioned? Because the mother had the influence on them. And so it is today. The hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world. Behind every throne, behind every president, behind every cabinet, behind every person in this world of any significance at all, behind every powerful person, there is a mother. Mothers, let me appeal to you in closing. None of us has not sinned. Eve, the mother of us all, was a sinner. None of us has met the mark. But because Mary, the mother of Jesus, was faithful, we can be forgiven. For she delivered a son who was the Son of God, who came into the world to forgive us of our sins. And he has promised rest and redemption and restoration to all who come to him. And so, mother, if you're tired of carrying the heavy load of your sins in this world, he bids you come to me, and I will give you rest. He has promised he or she who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The angel who spoke to Joseph, the husband of Mary, said, Joseph, this boy that's going to be born to Mary is going to be the Savior, and he shall save his people from their sins. Have you sinned? He will forgive you. He will wipe your slate clean. He does more than forgive you. He blots out the record, so there's never a record that you ever sin to start with. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Now, do you think God can forget anything? Well, he can forget your sin. He means, I won't remember them against you. I won't hold them against you, because you'll have the righteousness of my son. Mothers, the way to rock the world is to be ruled by the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord, and then give your children to the Lord. And through you, he will rock the world. May the Lord add his blessings on the teaching of his word. Now, they're going to lead you in a couple of songs, and we're going to have a baptism here in just a minute. If you'll just bear with us, we're ahead of schedule today. And so if you'll just bear with us and sing a few hymns, then we'll get ready and have a baptism in just a minute. We'll ask any of the men that are going to assist to come up and help.